Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 115. My name is Ben P. I will be your host for today or this evening or whenever you happen to be listening to this podcast. Joining us on the panel, or joining me on the panel, we've got Dr. Bankman. How's it going?
Yo, what's up? I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Ben. Awesome. Just a quick warning for everybody. If I got kids, well, I've got kids. I know that.
Okay.
And that's the point. They may come running. You know, usually we do this later. They're asleep, but we're doing a little bit earlier today, so they might come running in and out, crying, fighting, killing each other.
Just a general visceral ball of rustling and dirt spitting up.
It's ridiculous. Gotcha. So just be prepared if that happens. If not, I will be shocked.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We got Mazer joining us as well. Mazer, what's happening?
I'm trying a weird experiment. I put a filter, an AC filter, on a fan, and I'm seeing if it's going to clean the air. So I'll find out what happens with this weird experiment.
Yeah, report back and let us know. We got Tiberius joining as well. Tiberius, you working on any weird experiments over there?
No, I'm working on a Diet Coke and a smile. That's what I'm working on.
Wow.
Wow.
That is perhaps one of the cheesiest things. Like, I feel like you could actually be a spokesperson with a catchphrase like that.
Funny is Diet Coke doesn't even sponsor this podcast. So,
but yes, they should.
They should. It's so delicious. We sold out so quick, didn't we?
We sold out at the thought of a sponsorship, not even at an offer.
Actually, I hate diet drinks. I can't drink.
I can't drink it either. So sorry.
I can do Diet Dr. Pepper. I can do Diet Dr. Pepper, but I can't do diet anything else.
The aftertaste is just—it's too much for me to bear.
Yeah. And it's the side effects are almost worse than sugar. So.
Oh man!
Don't tell me. Don't.
as Tiberius takes a big glump of it. That's awesome. Okay, cool. Well, let's go ahead and move on into the box office numbers. So this past weekend saw a pretty decent amount of money transfer from the pockets of Americans into the studio system. So let's count it down from five. Number five at the box office this week was Priest with $4.7 million. Number four was Fast Five.
Still in the top five, huh? Look
I know,
at that.
In its fourth week, and this one made $10.5 million, which is, you know, pretty good. Thor coming in at number three with $15.4 million. Number two was Bridesmaids at $20.8 million. And number one, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides at $90.1 million. So,
wow.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
It is, and you know, the thing that everybody's making a big deal about is like $90 million is not, you know, as record breaking as some of the previous Pirates films, obviously, but it is good enough for first place at the box office, and when you consider how much money it's made internationally already, that movie's doing pretty well. So
it's like what, $400 million?
Something like that. Yeah,
it's about $400. It's around $400 million total gross. I think a little over. So, yeah, it is doing very well, and, you know, we're going to see another one, so.
Yep. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But, Mazer, why don't you tell us a little bit about a little Twitter contest that we've announced recently?
Yeah, so, we're trying to find an excuse to give away a free Geek Tyrant t-shirt, and we asked people on Twitter to tell us why they're a Geek Tyrant. And we picked out about six responses, and we're going to pick the winner on the podcast right now.
Cool.
And yeah, whoever the winner is, they get a free t-shirt. So,
Tiberius, you want to read some of these selections for people?
I would be happy to. I'm a geek tyrant because when I display my geek knowledge and wisdom, Zod kneels before me.
Ooh, I like that one.
Ooh, I know. That just, the way that came off my tongue, too, I must admit, that sounded awesome. I love it. Oh, should I continue?
Yeah, keep going.
I guess I will. I'll read them. I'm a geek tyrant because I beat up people in Klingon.
Ooh. Interesting. Ooh. I like that.
You know, I like that one. I follow geek tyrant because all those guys are hot. Yes, I am. And they keep me informed on stuff like Star Wars and Batman. I mean, come on. You've got to love that one. That's a good one.
That's pandering, but I like
it. Yes, it is, but you can't help but love the pander.
Okay, Geek Tyrant, because it's as good as an orgasm.
Wow.
I'm getting all sweaty right now. That made me blush.
Yeah, okay. I'm a Geek Tyrant because I want to name my children after Captains of the Starship Enterprise.
Nice.
Yeah, that is pretty.
Yeah, I like that. I plan on inserting a line from The Princess Bride into my wedding vows. Why the hell not?
You know?
I think those are all great reasons. And I think they, you know, make sense to me.
Man, all right, so how do you guys want to do this? You want to just go around the circle and say which one's your favorite, and maybe we'll come to a consensus that way?
Well, I picked the 6 out of probably, I want to say, 30.
You picked these 6 that we just read out of 30?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna post the full list with everyone's names who did it. I purposely stripped out the identities of people, so you guys are going completely unbiased. And let's just have the 3 of you guys vote.
Okay. All right. All right. Venkman, you want to go first?
Oh man, this is a rough one. You know, it shouldn't be though. It really shouldn't be. I think I like I'm a geek tyrant because it's as good as an orgasm.
Wow, that was not what I anticipated you picking, but to each his own, to each his own. That's democracy at work, folks. Oh man. Okay, cool. All right, Tiberius, you wanna go ahead?
Well, you know, I guess there's something to be said for going first, and being the first person I read. I like the Zod kneels before me. I don't know. There's something I like about Zod. I like the use of that in there, and you know, I think that's the best one.
Man, it's so close for me. You know, I think Mazer, I think you might have to be a tiebreaker here, because my gut was to go with, I want to name my children after Captains of the Starship Enterprise. I feel like that's so, like, nerdy and just about what everything we represent, you know, like, that's, I don't know, it's pretty awesome to me, so I'm going to pick that one. So I guess, Mazer, it's down to you.
Down to me. Oh, geez. I'm going to go with Jim's pick.
Nice.
I'm a geek tyrant because, Zod kneels before me. That one was hilarious.
That was my second pick.
That's
so.
A good one. That's what I was, you know, I was battling back and forth between that one too. So as long as we all were kind of had that one in contention, I think that's enough for it to take it down.
Okay, let me find the user's name. That is from Anne the Knee or Twiz. So... yeah, I don't All think right. any of that is descriptive, but we're going to direct message you and tell you that you've won a Geek Tyrant t-shirt.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah,
and thanks
congratulations.
To all the people who decided to throw some of that our way. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to post all the entries, and some of these are really, really funny. So
nice. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on into our big review of the week. We're recording right now on Wednesday, May 25th of 2011. So this past Friday was the 20th, and the only movie that really came out in wide release was Pirates, Pirates 4, I should say. So Venkman and I spoke about it a little bit on the last episode of this podcast.
Death lies before us as we sail. Fountain of youth.
You could guide an expedition. You are Jack Sparrow.
There should be a captain in there somewhere. I hear a rumor. Jack Sparrow's in London. Hellbent to find the Fountain of Youth.
Don't be a fool, Jackie. The fountain will test you. Was that really necessary?
Now, Tiberius has also seen it, so why don't you just run it down for us, Tiberius? What did you think about the movie? And then Venkman and I will feel free to just kind of bounce around and jump in there, here and there, whenever we so desire.
All right, fair enough. I have to admit, I was not expecting too much for this movie at all. You know, I went mainly because of the fact I just wanted to see everything on the big screen and really get an idea of, you know, what this, hopefully maybe the new direction of these films was going to take.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nothing really, really excited me about this movie. I mean, it was overly long. There's so much that could have been cut. There was some extraneous stuff. You know, first of all, the missionary and the mermaid, even though the mermaids were one of the coolest parts of the film, the missionary and mermaid character just seemed to be like that was a kind of an annoying addition that really didn't need to be there.
Mm.
Yeah, I will say that priest was was so out of place in that movie, and I don't think that character just did not have to be in there.
You know what would have been better is Paul Bettany as priest in that movie.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I digress. Go ahead, Tiberius, continue.
None of these characters really, I mean, there's nothing new, there's nothing groundbreaking here at all. By any shape of the imagination, this is a formulaic cash grab in a way, you know, by everyone involved for the most part, especially Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no, you know, nothing to say that I don't enjoy seeing Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow. Don't get me wrong, I do. Mm-hmm. I liked Ian McShane as Blackbeard. I think he was the epitome of he embodied everything that was bad. And me, you know, and scary and ominous about Blackbeard. Mm. So those things right there are a good reason to see this film. There's so many other bits that it's not. I really didn't care for Penelope Cruz. I've never, as we talked, I believe, a little bit before, I've never been a big fan of it. But overall, I have to think of everything that went into this film. Because I stayed afterwards to see the post-credits little scene there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed at how many people worked on that film.
Yeah.
So, you know what? We may be saying that it was not good in a lot of elements, but I mean, I have to think, man, everyone that worked on that film must have been working their heart out to make that
definitely.
Movie. So I have a lot of respect for anyone involved in this project. So I can't really say it's I can't fault it. It is what it is. Is really what I have to say. It's nothing phenomenal. It's not something you should ever imagine seeing in 3D. Even though I didn't see it in 3D,
mm-hmm.
I just cannot envision anything remotely being enjoyable or a reason to see that in 3D unless you're for some reason love 3D on mm-hmm. the big screen. This is not one that I would see it in. I could have waited till DVD, to be honest. But.
Well, Matt, it's interesting you say that because as far as 3D is concerned, it didn't do that well in 3D theaters. There's been some reports out there saying because of how poorly it did 3D wise in bringing in money, they're saying, well, Hollywood see this as, oh, okay, so not every movie that's made in 3D is actually going to make us more money type thing.
Hopefully
I just found that interesting.
I think it's because of how much more it costs, and this is a family movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think parents want to spend the extra money.
Well, not only that, but even when you do take the kids to a 3D movie, they don't wear the glasses. Mm. They keep taking them on and off throughout the movie. As a moviegoer, trying to raise my kids to go see movies, it annoys the hell out of me when they would rather watch the movie blurry than put on their 3D glasses.
Yeah.
But they don't like wearing them, so what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can only hope that it's a sign you know, all this discussion that you mentioned, Venkman, is just a sign that maybe things are shifting back in a primarily non-3D direction for big blockbusters like this.
Yeah.
I don't know how reasonable it is to assume that that's happening already, because I do have the feeling that the 3D thing hasn't hit its worst yet, you know? Like, we haven't been completely inundated with it yet to the point where every single big blockbuster that comes out in a summer is released in 3D, which I do think is on the horizon in the next few years. And then once that happens, I think that's when the public is really going to be fed up with it and be like, all right, this is just ridiculous, and then really start to reject it. And that, like, you know, we've talked about this before. The only ways the only way that studios are ever going to make a change is if they're hurt financially by it. So, yeah. You know, I would recommend doing what Tiberius did. If you're not a fan of 3D, if you see these movies and they're all dim and blurry you know, the glasses cut the luminescence by so much, and you know, you're not really that impressed by the kind of novelty of 3D anymore, then do what Tiberius did. Just don't see the movie in 3D. It's a choice that everybody has, hopefully, in your area. You know, there's a lot of times you don't have a choice, which just sucks.
Yeah.
But more often than not, I think theaters are trying to give you the option of seeing it in 3D or 2D. So I would just tell everybody, like, unless it's a huge epic thing where you hear so much buzz in advance about how great the 3D is, then just don't even bother and save your money, you know?
Yeah. And one thing I want to say about McShane's Blackbeard character, I love what he did with it. But, it, you know, it was a PG-13 version of Blackbeard.
Yeah.
I said in my review that I would love to see Ian McShane do a actual movie about Blackbeard the pirate and just make it hardcore and just bring that Deadwood character, like, just that, you know, that vulgarity and just all that craziness of evil, you know, into Blackbeard. I think that would be cool to see him do.
Totally.
But he did good, but it was a PG version of Blackbeard.
Yeah.
I want to see R-rated Blackbeard.
One thing that two things actually, Tiberius, that you bring up that I wanted to address really quickly. The first is I stayed also at the end of the credits and was also blown away by just the sheer number of people that worked on the movie. You know, we've kind of, as movie geeks, have become a little bit accustomed to staying after the credits for these little Easter egg scenes that the Marvel movies are doing and, you know, Fast and the Furious and stuff like that. So this one, more than any of those other films, kind of blew me away by how many people worked on it. You know, it did seem like, I just did it for Thor recently, and the number of people that worked on Pirates seemed way higher than those than that of Thor, I thought. So,
well, I noticed it on Thor too. I was like, man, it's like a small army.
Yeah.
People working on these films. I just thought to myself, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that sounds lame, maybe, but I don't know. I just thought, man, even if it's a small role, even if it's the best boy or the grip, you know, some sort of grip, some sort of PA that may even go just get the coffee, it's an important role to that film. I mean, I don't know. Everyone plays an important piece.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I wanted to bring up is that you mentioned that it was kind of overly long and it's a long movie, and I felt the exact same way, and I went home and looked it up, and this is actually the shortest running time of any of the Pirates movies, which kind of blew me away.
You know what, now that you bring that up, I had no idea about this. I was just blown away by you telling me that, and I think that a big factor has to do maybe with the amount of less. There was more action in the other films, even though it was really overdone special effects and action and things of that nature. This one had less action.
It was very much on a smaller scale. But that's one of the reasons why I think I liked it, is because it was more, I guess, I don't know.
Reserved.
Just reserved. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and also, you know, something, Tiberius, that you mentioned was just, like, seeing Johnny Depp play this character. I mean, I was talking to my girlfriend about this week, and she was saying, like, you know, yeah, the movie wasn't great, but it's just so much fun to listen to Johnny Depp, you know, deliver these one-liners and, like, just be in that character and kind of inhabit that craziness. And you kind of – Jack Sparrow is just such a great character for movies in general. You know, it is kind of cool just to see him up on the big screen again.
I found myself laughing a lot in this movie. And I don't know if it's just that I have a very poor memory. I don't remember that as much from the other films.
Well, and it has been, you know, whatever, 5 years or something since the other one came out. So, yeah, I wouldn't fault you if, because I don't really remember my, you know, particular theatrical experiences with them in either. But, yeah. Cool. All right. Anybody have anything else Pirates related that we want to bring up that we didn't cover either now or last week?
I was probably, like I said earlier, that we're going to see a fifth one, just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
I know in an interview, Johnny Depp was asked about it, and he kind of said, you know, Disney should take their time with it.
Yeah.
Which means he probably wants a break from playing it.
Right.
And for him, he says it all depends on what kind of story and script they come up with, because if it ends up just, you know, he says, I don't want to do these just to do them and make money. If I do them, I want it, you know, to be something I'm proud of. So.
Yeah. Which I feel like is something that he has to say, but for
some
reason... Yeah,
exactly.
But for some reason, I actually believe him, because it's Johnny Depp, you know? Like, I feel like people make claims like that all the time, and it's just like PR speak, but I actually do... I think I do believe him when he says that, so... All right, well, let's move on into a little bit of geek news, then. First off, let's talk a little bit about George Lucas and his recent... his recent discussions regarding the 3D versions of Star Wars and the live-action TV series. Tiberius, you wrote up an article for GeekTyrant.com about this. Why don't you tell us what the deal is?
Yeah, we've been reporting on the Star Wars 3D coming out, I believe, in February, if I'm not mistaken, and as well as the live-action television series that they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, there was a... George Lucas was on Attack of the Show at G4 for the recent opening of this new Star Tours, which looks amazing on a side note.
Mm-hmm.
And basically talked a little bit about the 3D technology that's been and how this conversion supposedly differs from other types of post-conversion.
And, you know, as much as I'm excited for that, it's like one of those things where it's like, it's going to turn out looking like every other converted movie, that it's not going to be any different or any better. I don't know.
But I'm still
going to pay money to see it. I will. I'll go see it in 3D. It's Star Wars. I have to. Damn me.
Yep. No, you're not alone. Damn me, too, because I'm going to be seeing that, too. I'm going to be there on opening weekend, and... The sad thing is, though, I mean, it sounds great. It sounds wonderful. Let me give the listeners just a little bit more to go by in case they haven't read the post. Basically, he's saying that what sets this apart is the fact that people from the original films were there to help work with him and oversee the post-conversion, which sounds grandiose and wonderful and all great. That sounds fine to me, but... I don't know. I'm really going to – I think we should have this conversation once we see it when it comes out because I don't know.
Well, yeah, sure, they worked on the original films, but let's be honest. The original films were made in the 70s, and I don't think the people that worked on the original films are the same people who are now, like, creating amazing 3D technology these days.
I don't know. It's possible, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Then there was also an update about the live-action TV show, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The live-action TV show, we've been talking about, I think the first post I saw about it on the site was back in 2009. It's a fairly old, it's been long gestating, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a live-action television series based on the universe of Star Wars, from what I'm gathering. From what I read up on. And more importantly, the reason that it's been delayed is because he didn't want to release it at the time. It's a matter of technology and it's a matter of money.
It's not a matter of technology. It's a TV show.
I know. But see, this I said the same thing. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, they can make some pretty epic television shows that are the same as movies in my mind in terms of production value and everything, and sometimes even better. But the key thing that stands out from what he was saying, granted, this is George Lucas again talking in Lucas speak. One of the key things that sets the television show apart is the fact that they are trying to release the technology and get the technology to the point where George Lucas wants it to be, supposedly. And I don't know if I buy that, just like Venkman said earlier, but you know, that's what he says. And on top of that, supposedly with this technology, they will be able to, it will revolutionize the way that the movie industry works. Basically by making a movie that would technically today cost $200 million to make, this technology would allow films to be made for like $50 million. So that right there is interesting, but I don't know, you know, I don't really, he doesn't go into depth about what exactly the technology is, but we can obviously guess. Maybe it's something to do with cameras, something to do with editing equipment, some, you know, sound and everything that goes into visual effects and related to that. The key thing about the television live action show is that it's going to be basically like a mix of multiple different major motion pictures. That's his goal with it. So it's going to be epic in scale, and that's really the holdup, and that's really what's been taking so long.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
It seems like some kind of lofty goals, I think, but
I want it to work. I want to see something great. So hopefully we'll get that.
Yep.
Yeah.
My guess on the technology is that some we can do real time green screening, but I think the stuff that he might be trying to be pushing might be real time. Like they had a little bit of it on Avatar, which is where they're able to take mocap and, you know, have great performance, but be able to do that mocap in real time onto high resolution models is probably what he's talking about. But yeah, I mean, Lucas, and I forgot, it was like the edit droid was what we know now as non-linear video editing.
Mm.
And he helped build that because he didn't want to deal with film.
Yeah.
So if the technology he's talking about and he says it's going to change the industry, it's going to change the industry.
Yeah, he's done it before, I guess. So yeah, I guess we have to take him a little bit more seriously than like his recent speeches would indicate, you know, like just based on his track record alone.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about, you know, we're talking about 3D. Let's continue in that realm just a little bit. James Cameron recently met up with Michael Bay for kind of an unveiling of about 20 minutes or so of new footage from Transformers Dark of the Moon, which is Transformers 3 that's coming out the very end of June, and now they moved up the release date a couple days. And anybody know anything about this? Anybody want to take the lead on this one?
Yeah, they talked about just 3D in general, but I mean the highlights of it was, you know, Michael Bay, who's purely all about film, actually was switching to digital to use the 3D tools, and just talking about how some of the shots they did. You know, if you guys have seen the flying squirrel man now, probably from the trailer, but I mean, talked about how like it took them a year to get clearance to get these guys to be able to fly through Chicago in these like flying suits. And I mean, people have talked about how because they do helmet cams with these guys in these suits, it feels like an IMAX experience because you are jumping out of the plane with these guys. Cool. And it's not a green screen experience. It's like these guys are really jumping out of a plane and they're just filming it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it talked about, you know, some of, even though they shot a lot of it, he still wanted to do close-ups on people and film and things like that because he felt there's extra quality in that. But yeah, he said he's just completely sold on 3D, and it's just this extra tool. And I think everyone who's talked about the footage that 20 minutes, I mean, it's obviously not anything to do with the story, but it's just like just so much detail. It's so rich. It feels like you're like this extra, just inside of the film. And there was one sequence that was described where, and you get, I think, a preview of it in the trailer. I don't know if I should spoil this. It's just a little action piece.
Yeah, go ahead. It's in the trailer.
So Bumblebee, I believe he runs up a wall, picks up Sam out of the air, and then transforms around him back into a car and keeps going.
That's really sweet.
In one shot. So it's stuff like that that, like, cool, but then in 3D, insane.
Yeah. So. I mean, I've got a friend of mine who worked on that movie, and he's saying that it's so much better than the other ones, and everybody that I've talked to that even has any sort of a remote association with this movie says that the story is the best one of the entire franchise as well, which, I mean, obviously that was what was lacking in Revenge of the Fallen because of the writer's strike and all that stuff, which we've talked about.
You know, another note is he also used the same crew as Avatar.
Oh, interesting.
So part of the same camera crews and all that stuff. So
cool.
Yeah. But it's interesting. After that, they started to get into some more, like, deep techie stuff. But, like, you guys talked about, like, you talked about how, like, it's dim in 3D. Well, they've actually come out with light bulbs that are actually twice as bright. But theater chain owners are not ratcheting up the brightness, even though the light bulbs can do it now.
Yeah, that's really a problem. Like, I was reading this article that came out earlier a couple days ago about how, like, even sometimes for... You know, you have to have, like, a different and filter. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Mazer, but from what I understand, you have to have, like, a different type of lens or a different type of something that a filter or whatnot that's capable of playing 3D movies in a theater. And then that, because it is kind of dim, sometimes theaters won't switch that back for 2D showings. So it actually just cuts the luminescence for regular movies. Like, this happened, the article I was reading came from Deadline.com, and they were talking about it happening in Boston, and there was a screening of Hall Pass, the Farrelly Brothers movie, and they were there, the directors were there for, like, a Q&A, and they, like, walked in and saw the movie playing, and they're like, what is this? Like, this looks horrible. Like, I can't believe this is actually being, you know, kind of... This is acceptable to people, and it really shouldn't be. So if you guys are ever – I'm talking to the audience now. If you are the listeners, if you guys are ever in a situation where you're in a theater and it looks, like, really dark and it's noticeably dark, complain to the manager. That's the only way that anything is ever going to get changed. You know, we're just talking about the studios aren't going to make any changes unless they're hurt financially. It's kind of the same thing with theaters, even though, you know, in theory they're kind of looking out for us and for the consumer. It's a business just like any other, and they're trying to save money on not changing these bulbs and having them burn out because they're used more and stuff, which is what's supposed to be giving us the best experience possible. So we really need to kind of band together as, you know, people who know something about this and try to make something happen there.
Well, something that the guys on the Totally Rad Show had been talking about is there needs to be something like a THX standard for 3D. So when you're going to a 3D screening, you know that brightness is at the perfect level required by whatever THX 3D or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And required, you know, by law.
Yeah, you're getting a good quality 3D experience because it varies hugely. That's why when they released Avatar, they tuned each, like, copy to each screen in each theater, because they knew that the vendors, you know, the theater owners are not going to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully there could be some standard that you can go, okay, I know that's going to be a good theater to go to.
Right.
Because unless it's probably, I would say, IMAX 3D, you probably don't know.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, one thing that I wanted to mention was the upcoming sixth season of Dexter is picking up cast members left and right.
Yep.
A couple recent additions to the cast include Edward James Olmos.
Awesome.
Colin Hanks is joining, and Mos Def, who apparently now is going by just the name Mos.
Mos.
Right. And then very recently, maybe even today or yesterday, an actor named Billy Brown has been cast also, and he played Death Row Reynolds in the FX series Lights Out, which, Tiberius, you were a fan of that show, right?
Yeah, I liked it. It was unfortunate that it met its demise early, but, yeah. I remember him.
Yeah, I'm just making sure that I wasn't the only one who liked it, because I really, really enjoyed that show. So, and I thought he was pretty good on it. And he, Billy Brown, let me see, I'm going to read the description here. It says he'll play a character named Mike Cutler, described as a no-nonsense Chicago homicide detective who transfers to Miami Metro, where he immediately ruffles some feathers. So,
you know, I love ruffling feathers.
Yeah.
It's something I do.
Ruffling feathers and rattling cages is what Venkman does.
I hope Edward James Olmos ends up playing a villain in it.
Yeah.
Really. He's supposed to play, I think, like a college professor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just love it if he ended up being like one of the main bad guys.
Yeah. And something interesting that the president of Showtime just said is that there's actually going to be multiple villains in this season.
Yeah, it's not going to focus on one. It'll have many.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like the kick that the show might need, you know, something to kind of take it to the next level. Because we talked about the last season a little bit, but I don't know, Venkman, remind me, what did you think about the last season?
I liked the last season. I thought the last season was fine. It wasn't their best season. It wasn't as good as Trinity Killer, but last season, it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't like it as much as the Trinity Killer season either, but I'm hoping that that they'll be able to kind of turn this into something pretty special. And it sounds like that's what they're aiming for with by picking up all these like big name cast members. So
yeah, I'm also I don't know if this would be called a spoiler alert if I go from anything in the books that the series is based off of.
Ooh,
would that that might be considered a spoiler?
You know. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead. I just want, as a theory of something I want to see actually finally happen that happened in the books, spoiler alert, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. So who knows if it's a spoiler or not.
Okay.
Anyway, Dexter's sister Deb knows in the books that he's a serial killer.
Okay.
I would like to see that actually finally happened, like it almost did last season.
Yep.
So close.
Yeah.
I wanted her so bad to find out.
It was like a sheet of hanging plastic away, you know. That was the like, only
just make the reveal now and end it. That's but they didn't, so
yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I think that would definitely add a kind of an interesting dynamic to those characters, and it would be, I mean, I guess to draw an analogy to a show that recently came to an end, it would be as if, you know, when Chloe found out that Clark Kent was Superman in Smallville, you know, or when Lois or Lana or any of those characters did. It completely changes the interaction between those two characters and opens it up to so many more stories and stuff. And I feel like the writing cast of, or I'm sorry, the writers of Dexter are pretty good, and I feel like they know what they're doing. I feel like they have a pretty good handle, because the show is actually still good, and it's for a show, any show going into its sixth season, to say that it's still good is impressive. So I think it's probably about that time, you know, for Deb to find out. So I'm right there with you. I definitely hope that happens.
Cool.
One other thing that I wanted to mention that I saw this article that, Venkman, I think you wrote this one up too. Yeah. There's a $1 billion Star Trek themed park resort being built in Jordan. And I saw that and I was like, there's no way this is real. This is like an April Fool's thing way late, and it's actually real. So
yeah, it's for real. It's crazy.
And in Jordan.
Yes, in the country of Jordan.
Really? That's a great location right there.
I feel like there's a high concentration of Star Trek fans in Jordan.
Are there?
No, I have no idea.
It makes no sense to me. When I saw that and I'm writing it up, I'm like, what the hell? Like, I would love to go to a Star Trek themed resort that's better than the Las Vegas Hilton thing that they got going on right now that is kind of not cool. But I'm not going to Jordan to go to one. I don't have that kind of cash. What Star Trek fans have that kind of cash? That's what I want to know. Sure, J.J. Abrams can go.
Yeah.
Sure, you know, William anyone, you know, if any doctors, you know, or lawyers, high-powered lawyers or anything are Star Trek fans, then yeah, they can go. But what about, like, the average Trekkie?
Yeah.
they can't do it?
I think we're screwed, basically. But it's something to admire from afar, you know? It's like how they're turning the parts of New Zealand into, like, a... weren't they talking about turning that into, like, a some sort of tour or something? Like a Lord of the Rings-themed tour?
Yes.
You know? Yeah, something like that. So it would just be, like, a massive mecca for fans to go to. Like, I don't know. That seems ripe for a movie. You know, like The Hangover, but it's just with rich Star Trek fans.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's pretty crazy. It's going to be 184 acres, which is just ridiculous.
I honestly don't see how this is one of those things. It just seems like they're going to spend $1 billion on this, and a year later it's going to go out of business because no one is going to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'll be one of those ghost resorts.
Yeah, which actually might be kind of cool, but that's
they can shoot it in it later. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to read just the little sentence here from it. It says, the park will deliver a variety of multi-sensory 23rd century experiences, culminating with a state-of-the-art space flight adventure that takes real-time immersive entertainment experiences to bold new heights. And it was apparently inspired by the 2009 J.J. Abrams movie. So, I don't know. It sounds really badass, but I don't know how long that's actually going to happen. But maybe, I don't know. Who knows what that could turn into? A model or something to be built in the U.S. maybe.
Yeah, I think there are like some really diehard Star Trek fans who probably would pay an insane amount of money for like they could sleep in a starship ship.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean?
I did say in my article, I'm like, okay, this is coming out in 2014, so you can start saving up now.
Yeah.
And by, you know, a couple of years from now, maybe you'll have a few grand saved up to make the trip for a weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Man. I just don't know how they're going to make – that's a lot of money, and I don't know how many – yeah, I don't see how they're going to make their money back.
I don't either.
Crazy.
You know? Putting something like that in, you know, California, Florida, anywhere else here in the States, it would blow up.
Yeah, yeah. Put it in the center of America.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
You know,
put it in Canada.
Throw it in Colorado. I'd go. You know? Sheesh. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's talk about what we got coming out next week. Anybody know what's coming out in theaters? It's not next week. It's in 2 days because we're recording on Wednesday. So Friday the 27th. Anybody know what comes out?
Yeah.
Wait, Hangover 2?
Yeah.
Two sequels.
So, yeah.
And does Kung Fu Panda 2?
Yep.
Yeah. 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 All
right, well, there you go.
All right.
Those are the two. And yes, I'm going to go see The Hangover.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Anybody anticipating one or both of those movies?
I'm excited to see it, but I know what I'm getting myself into. I know it'll be enjoyable, but I have a feeling from what I've seen in the trailers and from what people I know have told me that it's pretty much a carbon copy of the first film, mm-hmm. but it takes place in Thailand.
Yes.
So I'm excited. At the same time, I'm a little disappointed that it – I don't know. You saw it, Ben.
I did see it, yeah, and I really don't want to say anything about it. I just don't want to. So I think I would much rather have like a legitimate conversation about it with you guys after you've seen it. Yeah. So we'll talk about that next week.
Sure.
Yeah. The thing with sequels is people want the exact same movie, just a little different. So I mean,
well, that's what that is. That's
there
all
you
I'll
go.
Say. Kung Fu Panda 2. Did you guys see the first one?
Yeah, yep. I love the first one.
I love the first one.
I've been hearing that the sequel is really, really good, actually.
Okay. I didn't see the first one because I had heard, like, bad stories from from DreamWorks, you know, from the production and stuff, and how, like, Jeffrey Katzenberg kind of came in and like, forced some crazy things where, like, the animation was already done, and he forced the writers to kind of come up with stuff that fit the animation and, like, weird, you know.
Jeffrey Katzenberg does that on every film he works on.
I don't know. For some reason, I heard, like, more kind of I heard it more specific to Kung Fu Panda, so I just kind of didn't see it out of spite, I guess, because I just didn't think that sounded like a cool thing to do. Like, well, oh, wow, Jeffrey Katzenberg is hurt by me not going to see his movie, but whatever, you know, I just...
No, Jeffrey Katzenberg, you know, he started out, was a bigwig, started out Paramount Pictures, went over to Disney and started heading up Disney's animation department with Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, bunch of other movies.
But yeah, as chronicled in the film Waking Sleeping Beauty, which everybody should check out.
So there you go. Or a book you should read is called The Keys to the Kingdom, How Michael Eisner Lost His Grip. One of the best books of, like, behind the scenes business stories ever.
Cool.
So, but yeah, Katzenberg kind of does that with all of his movies.
And I have heard that Kung Fu Panda 2 is very good as well, so... eventually I will see both of them, but I'm glad that you guys are psyched for it. So maybe talk about that next week too.
Sure.
Cool. All right. Well, everybody should check out geektyrant.me. That is our store. We've got free shipping now, which is pretty awesome. There's those 3D anaglyph glasses, the red and blue ones. And you could subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Leave us a review. That would be great. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/geektyrantfans. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geektyrant. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube feed, which is youtube.com/geektyrant. Tiberius, you want to plug your podcast?
Yeah. Well, actually... the team at Geek Tyrant has been nice enough to allow the Napier's newscast to post on Geek Tyrant. So you can simply check geektyrant.com for the Napier's newscast, which we record every Sunday. Subscribe, rate, and listen to us via iTunes.
Awesome. And I've got the Not Just New Movies podcast, which you can also find at geektyrant.com, and all the back episodes are at notjustnewmovies.com. Same deal. Subscribe, rate, listen, iTunes, all that stuff. Everybody knows what's up. Cool. Now, well, what's up?
I've got a question.
Yes.
I've got a question. This is just completely out of the blue, but I'm throwing this out there. Okay?
Okay.
I'm getting new shoes. All right?
Okay.
And I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet.
K-Swiss.
I've been going with the Nike Free for, like, you know, the last 4 years, right? Free, you know the Nike Free.
They're the most comfortable shoe I've ever worn.
They're amazing.
It's the best thing next to being barefoot, I would say.
Now they have you guys... go ahead.
Have you worn New Balance before?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the New Balance.
After you wear this shoe, like, seriously, any other shoe you put on just feels too heavy, too thick, and too, like, restricting on your feet. Like,
Now they redesigned their shoe. I don't know if you know this, Mazur, but they've recently did an overhaul on their shoe, which I like.
It's even lighter.
Yes, but have you seen or heard of the new Reebok RealFlex shoes?
No.
Okay, well, this thing is, like, awesome. Now, I've tried them on, and then, honestly, they feel better than these Nike Free shoes that I've been wearing.
I've got the Reebok Zigzags, and those are really freaking light, too. So I don't know if we're talking about the same thing, but...
No, these are completely different. These Reebok RealFlex shoes are the lightest shoe out on the market right now.
Nice.
And
they're kind of nice red and gray. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know. See, so now I'm just kind of like, do I stick with what I know, or do I dive into territory, like dive into the Reebok territory, something new, something different? I don't know, man. What do you guys think? Should I stick with Nike, or should I go with the Reebok? And they're the same price. Well, we're not getting any increases here. It's the exact same price.
Well, At Zappos.com, they're $85 for the Nike Free Walk, the free ones, and Nike Free, and then they're like 90-something for the Reebok Flex. But.
So
Zappos doesn't have the newest Nike Frees.
Oh, where does? Where do they? Nike.com?
Only on Nike.com. Hmm.
I would go Nike, Venkman.
You would go Nike? Man, dang it. I was leaning toward Reebok, and now I'm not so sure.
What do I know about shoes? I'm not a shoe connoisseur, but that was my gut.
Well, every year I buy a new pair of shoes for Comic-Con. That's literally every year. It's like Comic-Con's coming up. Got to get my new pair of shoes. And break them in. So, I don't know.
Well, I think we've subjected people to enough of your shoe discussion at this point. So let's end this episode officially. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you guys next week.